Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So we're going to talk about tough love today. Just sort of chew the fat about what tough love in the workplace looks like.
Right.
And I mean, I think you can't really succeed as you go up the ladder if you don't know how to be honest with people. But you can't just be tough without the love part, I think.
Right. It brings back that saying that I've heard, which is say what you mean, but don't say it meanly.
Right.
And tough love is some version of that, right? I happened to look it up on the Merriam-Webster dictionary. And tough love is defined by the dictionary as love or affection, concern expressed in a stern or unsentimental manner as through discipline, especially to promote responsible behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like management, doesn't it?
Yeah, it very much is management. And I think, you know, if you just have the tough part, then you have a staff that's fearful of you.
Yes.
And if you just have the love part, then you have a staff that doesn't, you don't hold them accountable.
They don't take responsibility because you don't hold them accountable.
Right, which is usually not a successful workplace. So it is sort of a yin and yang thing in that you have to have both.
Yes.
But in order to be tough, I mean, the love word is a little deceiving. We don't really mean love. We mean you have to be respected.
Agape?
Oh, what does that mean?
That's the Greek philosopher's version of love, which is sort of love for your brother, humanitarian of caring.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's what we mean.
Yeah.
So because, you know, without people knowing that you're fair, that when you are tough, that you're coming from a place of caring.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then it's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Yeah. Well, I think so. There's so many different angles to this, and just to go back, this was inspired, right, by this week's podcast, My Crazy Office, where we talked about a manager whose employee always cries when she receives feedback, and we talked about in that case to then withhold the feedback is hurtful to her career.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, you do have to be tough and continue to communicate what you have to say. And then the caring side of it is, I think, Kathy, you had mentioned that you could say to the individual, you may need to take a moment, or I know this may be hard to hear, but this will further your career. Use some conditional terms that will help with the delivery of the message. But you don't stop from delivering the message.
Well, I think once somebody knows that they can get you off message.
Yeah.
Like once somebody, whatever, they bat their eyelashes or they cry or or they even get angry. I mean, once their reaction pushes back on you and you don't stay tough, they're always going to do it. They win.
Right. They know.
I mean, you learn that with children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, the good news with a child is that they're 2 feet tall. So, you know.
And they have a temper tantrum.
And you have the keys and the money.
Right. And the food.
Right. So, and you know they're going to fall asleep eventually. So you have the upper hand.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to somebody who's maybe 6'4", you know, another adult, their emotions can sometimes be very strong.
And scary.
Yeah. So it's hard to hold that line.
I think that's a really good point. And Logan, you know, we do a lot of work in hospitals and not-for-profits, and there what's so interesting is typically those cultures are caring cultures, wouldn't you say, Kathy? And so some of the best managers are very good about caring about their employees, but have a hard time drawing the line with their employees. And so very often when we're coaching them, we're talking about this is where business tools come in very handily. If you have someone who's chronically late, you have to refer to the lateness policy, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing up that would be a version of tough love.
Yeah, definitely. And being able to hold people's feet to the fire, being able to hold people accountable, it's very tough. It's not fun.
No.
But once you get accustomed to it, people will expect it out of you.
Yeah.
They appreciate it. And if you don't do it, they really don't see you in the same light. I mean, they might like you for a party on Friday night, but they don't really respect you as a manager, especially when they see you let other people off the hook.
Yes.
For showing up late or not doing their job.
I was going to say, it'd be great. Let's give up some examples of things that may require tough love.
Okay.
So I would say chronic lateness, someone who's not able to meet their deadlines,
right.
Someone who shows up for meetings late or misses meetings, someone who keeps offloading their work to other colleagues, right? And even it could be someone who has a problem, a medical condition, or they're going through something personally, but they use that problem to neglect their work and to leave other people hanging.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really big one where others maybe hand in a crappy work product and then others have to redo it for them.
Right.
Something like that. People have to be called on that.
Yeah.
Or they have some kind of drama.
Yeah.
And they, you know, all of a sudden they have a flat or their car is being towed or, you know, they can't drive that day because their breathalyzer showed that they had a problem.
I'm not going to be in on time.
I have a client who has somebody like that. They can't. The car won't start until they breathe into it. So anyway.
Sorry, it's not funny. I just haven't seen that mechanism.
Oh, I have. When I went on a trip to Wisconsin, which is... I think the druggist state in all of United States, yeah. And then the city that I was in specifically was the drunkest city in all of the U.S., Appleton. A lot of them have that you need to breathe in the breathalyzer before you can
start the ignition
if you've gotten pulled over for several DUIs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a... a process that you have to go through. You don't get that the first time.
No. It's like after number three or four.
It's a special gift that you get after you've accumulated points.
Exactly.
And I think it doesn't get taken away that quick either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And be interesting to have a breathalyzer in the office.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you feel you need it. But, you know, anyway.
Sorry, we diverge. That does happen.
So other people that don't show up for work, and then others have to pick up the slack. That's really where I was going.
Yes.
That those people need tough love.
Right. So if someone, for example, even has a medical condition and you care about them and you want them to get treatment, but they continuously call in at the last minute and say they've got to go to a doctor's appointment, tough love may be getting notes, requiring notes from the doctor that say you've actually been there, or it may be that you have to give advance notice before you go, or it may be taking medical leave or working part-time.
Or even, being able to make that up. Whether it's evening hours or weekend hours or being overly generous to your coworkers when their plates are full and taking work away. I mean, there's ways that you can be fair.
Yes.
So we're talking about people that really abuse, the system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that.
There is.
And they're hard to catch, but it definitely takes tough love. And we know when we walk in, if that's happening, it's because there hasn't been a manager in place. There hasn't been somebody who's able to hold people accountable.
Or there's a manager who is not holding them accountable.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So just to say it again, we're calling it tough love because the most effective managers are the ones that when they are tough, it's taken seriously because the receiver knows they're fair.
Yes.
And that
they're caring as managers.
Right.
They care about their staff.
The feedback is coming from the right place.
Yes.
It's coming from a place of improvement, not from, anger or mean.
Right. So that's interesting. I would like to say two things. One is that I think you have to prepare, if you're going to do a tough love act, you probably have to prepare yourself for it, right? Like we always say, strike when the iron is cool. You don't want to exercise tough love when you're ticked off or exasperated, or, you know, you want to fire the person. Mm-hmm. So you have to manage yourself first, right, to calm your system down and really get clear on what is the script here. What is it that I'm going to request of this person, and make sure that it sticks with the business at hand, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing about them personally. And the other thing I'm thinking about is that, you know, consider what may make it hard for you. Are you afraid, you mentioned, Kathy, of making other people angry? Are you afraid of being judged or disliked as a manager? Are you worried that you'll be considered cold or uncaring?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You have to kind of uncover your own fears about it in order to prepare to deliver.
And I think it's normal to have those kinds of, you know, fears before, on your way to becoming a good manager. No one's born, you know, with that ability.
Right.
I mean, that's something that you learn over time.
Right. Yeah, and if you have a strong fairness orientation, what I notice is for those individuals, they always want to give the employee the benefit of the doubt, or their coworker, right? So I've encountered people who are so good at understanding the other side of the picture that they have a hard time standing up for what needs to happen professionally, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I just don't want people to avoid learning this skill.
No.
Don't avoid, you know, being the nice guy all the time. Because when you're too nice, what happens, what I see is managers that are too nice ultimately explode.
Yeah.
Because it gets to a point of they're exhausted. They're doing everyone's job.
And they're not respected as well.
Right. They're well-liked.
Right.
But they're not as respected, and they get taken advantage of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you relate to that, you've just got to. You're not doing the.
If you're doing the work for the receptionist and your assistant and everyone else under you, you need to practice tough love.
Right. You need to learn the yin and yang. You've got one side.
Yeah.
Now what's the opposite?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. You have to rehearse and practice what you want to say. The tough part.
Right.
The love comes naturally for some people, not for everybody. Those that are too mean have to learn the love part.
Sometimes you have to practice the love part. Right. So Kathy is great at rehearsing people, helping people rehearse these, aren't you?
Right. I do it all the time.
Yeah. You have such a gift for like coming up with the turn of phrase that will work in the situation where, as we would say, you take the high road, you stick with the situation at hand, you set the standards that you want followed, you communicate the consequence if they're not able to meet your expectations, but you do it all in a very calm and clear way.
Right. Well, I've always, never really had an issue with the idea of also firing people, because usually by the time you fire someone, you're not firing them because you're just such a jerk. You're firing them because they're in the wrong position.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be there.
Right. Yeah.
And they know that. Really, you're letting them out of jail. It's out of jail card.
Yeah.
And you may have warned them, you may not, but they should know that. And it's always amazing to me when someone is just so miserable at their job, and then they're shocked when they get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, there really shouldn't be a shock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. You know, you should help people along the way understand this is not working out, and this is why. And if it's not for you, that's fine.
Well, it's interesting because I was just thinking, I have a client right now she's managing several people, and she has to do tough love her way, you know, that's true to who she is. Mm-hmm. And so what she ends up doing is asking questions. Like she'll say, it seems like you're not happy at this job. Can you tell me more about that? Basically having the individual take responsibility for their behavior and the fact that they're unwilling to perform what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
that's a good method.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, throwing it back at them.
Yes.
Rather than having to tell them, rather than saying, let me tell you, you know, you seem really unhappy. Just saying, are you unhappy here? It seems like you might be. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. But you have to ask the question.
Right.
And to your point, keep putting it back into their camp, taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I know it's not easy, but I think once you learn how to do it, as a manager, people will respect you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find it's a skill that I have to use in life all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, if you use it, you... Yes, I'd say there are different situations that call for tough love, for sure.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of a specific?
Well, I was just thinking how I was, I stayed at this hotel, and the woman, they had, I don't know, she had to swipe the card several times, and then it was rejected. And I was like, wait a minute, I know that that credit card is fine.
Right.
I know that there's credit on it. And then I went upstairs, I gave her another one, go upstairs, and I called the credit card company, and they said to me, oh, there's something wrong with their machine. Did this person swipe it repeatedly? And I said, yes. And they said, well, then, you know, we detected that, and we killed it. Like, they have a problem with their machine. So I went down there, and I was really, really nice. I had to, like...
Yeah.
Because you know how humiliated... There's people behind you.
Yes.
There's people all around you. I'm sorry, your credit card's been declined.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just very nicely said, look, I called the credit card company, and it is your defective machine. I wanted you to be aware of that. That
yeah.
if, you know, others get declined, it's because the swiping is not working, and I just really wanted you to know that. And, of course, she just started shuffling papers.
Yes.
But, and, of course, none of the people that heard my declined card were to be around anymore.
Would you put it on the intercom, please, that it is your machine?
It is your machine that is wrong.
Not my credit card.
Thank you.
We were friendly after that. But anyway.
Yeah, vendors are a great opportunity usually to practice tough love, right?
But
I didn't want to blast her.
I didn't want to get mad or anything. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, you know, I think this, I want to say something.
Right.
So I don't know. Is that a good example?
I think that is a good example. And actually, we had someone who's performed services for our physical
office suite.
I'm not going to name any names because what I want to say is what we said to him, because he's having trouble returning our phone calls and texts and emails, was if we don't hear from you in the next 12 hours, we'll need to move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a version of tough love. You know, he knew we appreciated his service. He knew that we wanted him to be the one, but if we didn't get a response, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think having that ability to actually call, make people accountable if you're paying them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even, yeah.
An ultimatum.
Well, it's just, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's being tough, but being fair at the same time. It's not being mean.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not saying, you're a jerk. I will never recommend you. I'll never use you again. You didn't. It's not doing that. It's
right.
Yeah.
So in an interesting way, it's taking, just as they said in... As Merriam-Webster said in the dictionary, it's taking things through an unsentimental manner. Mm-hmm. You sort of take the emotion out of it and just stick with the results that you need to see and then let the individual or group make their own decision.
And I also think that you don't want to repeat it. Some people, when they are angry and they're giving this kind of love, they may go a little overboard. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, well, give an example.
I have friends, against nameless, because probably all of them actually, who will, let's say, you know, start go on a rant. You said you were going to do this.
Yes.
And then the person may apologize and say, I'm so sorry, let's take care of it. Now, listen, that's something you've done before.
Yes.
And then they go on.
You're right.
Like, they don't just move on.
No shaming. That's shaming and blaming.
Shaming,
But I've seen managers do that also. They will communicate what they want, and then the grudge is still there.
Yeah, the resentment that they feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that part of the lesson of being tough love is, you know, say it effectively once.
Uh-huh. And you have to also stay in the present, right? You can't be carrying the freight train of behaviors from the past that maybe have accumulated that you are really frustrated with. You really have to stick with the situation at hand. So if it's about being on time, it's on time today and going forward.
You have to take the long-term resentment to the gym, right?
For a workout.
You have to take it there.
And exhaust it.
Well, you have to either punch something.
Yeah.
Or my gym just got these very thick ropes.
Yes.
That you have to, like, you go up and down with them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And you can get a lot of aggression out in those ropes.
How do you know that, Kathy?
Because I do them all the time.
She's getting out.
Yes, I'm learning to do it with those heavy balls. You know,
oh,
those
that's
big
a good
weighty balls
oh,
that
wow.
you have to go bam, bam.
Oh,
bam,
yeah, that yeah, there you go. That's
balls,
very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That's a good one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And our gym just got this life size. You know, bag that you hit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like the size of a big human being.
Is there a long line behind it?
No, well, when I go, there's never a long line. But unique gloves. I'm afraid to break my knuckles.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to have to get some gloves in.
All right. So this is good, though, to prepare for your tough love, which is tough and loving or tough and caring.
The yin and yang of it.
You have to get rid of the anger part in you, right? Purge that understandable anger. It's not that it shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. But you do probably need to do something to release that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear and the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, this isn't easy. It doesn't always come naturally.
No one said it would be easy. It doesn't come naturally, but I actually think it's interesting because I was first exposed to the concept of tough love in the land of addiction and recovery, which is that if someone is, let's say, drinking themselves silly, that you don't step in and rescue them. You have to let them live with the consequences of their behavior. And then if you stage an intervention and say you need to get help, there has to be a consequence behind that as well. If you don't, I don't know how often I'll be able to spend time with you or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's been proven to work in the most dire of situations, but it's not. It's kind of counterintuitive, I think, for some people.
Right, and that's why there's so many enablers.
Yes.
It's easier to be nice and then, you know, talk about them behind their back.
Right. So that's another thing to consider, that if you're busy being nice, you're not actually helping the employee develop and become more responsible and own their life, own their career. So you got a big job ahead of you.
Yep.
Okay, that's it. Join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.